afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Thursday, November 16th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
I just hate saying the date anymore. Do we really have to date these programs?
Well,
if we could date them
without dating ourselves.
That's the key.
That's the key. It's 2017 for all the rest of you people, but it's still only 1999 for me.
For me. That sounds like a plan. Yeah, that makes me feel a little bit better. All right, we have a different year for us than
start
for everybody
a group.
Else.
Yeah. Start a group. People could... We can sell memberships for $500 or $1,000 a year, where you set the year back. This would be the 1999 group. So you address all you set all of your years back to 1999.
Yes,
they would be 16.
We can party
1999.
We can just party on, party on. Well, there was no partying for gold today. It tried 1282 for the high, and currently 1279, up a couple cents. Silver was up 10 cents today at $17.15, off the high of 1720. Platinum was up $2 today at 936. Palladium was up $4 at 993. The USDX today was trading stronger, 0.08 at 93.94. And crude oil was down a couple cents today, down 0.14 at 55.19. And the paper markets today, they loved something. I guess the announcement that the tax reform was passed, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Up still has a ways to go, so there's no finality to it yet, but the Dow was up 187 points at 23,458. You have the NASDAQ up 55 points at 6,793. The S&P was up 21 at 2585. And the 10-year yield, 0.03, up at 2.36. And Euro 118, down a couple points. And, you know, it's interesting that the market is up 200 points, and this happened before. And every once in a while, I'll talk about the fear and greed index. Now, it's not the VIX, but it's a fear and greed index that is, you know, produced and it monitors the scale from fear to neutral to greed to extreme greed. Now, you have the market up 200 points today. That emotion, the fear and greed index, it dropped to 36 into the fear level, like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, the stock market is running up 200 points plus. Why would you find that there is fear creeping into the system? So just kind of interesting. Doesn't mean anything. It's just an interesting little insight to see where we might be heading in here in the near future. But a lot of things, Al.
I have an interesting little insight myself, Melody.
And I guess if you're a male, you're going to be accused of a sex crime.
Probably so. I told a risque joke back when I was in eighth grade.
Did you? Uh-oh.
And I expect that's
eighth
only...
Eighth grade?
Yeah, yeah. I'm expecting that I'm going to... Oh, my God, he told a risque joke. It was only 65 years ago or something like that. 60 years ago, whatever it was. I don't know. But yeah, I'm waiting. I've got attorneys on retainer to defend me against this. In any case, yeah, that really is something. And where am I right now? Let me just take care. We talked about this yesterday. U.S. House paid $15 million to its secret sexual harassment victims. There are apparently a number of them, and the victims, as a condition of entering into this negotiation, right? This is settled by mediation. They have to sign a non-disclosure agreement, right? So this is part of a little deal that the House of Representatives does just to maintain American confidence. Just because some of our congressmen, maybe our senators, we don't know, are involved in our presidents, you know, maybe involved in sexual harassment, maybe rape. Well, we're going to work that out with a non-disclosure agreement. We will give you some money if you will shut your mouth and go away and you can't disclose anything to it, or you can't disclose the problem. Well, we've seen this in Hollywood, and there was a wave of it in Hollywood. Now it's kind of calmed down and blown over, but we're waiting for consequences more than anything else. But now it's going up into Washington, D.C., and I am kind of delighted because this is a certain amount of the mighty are fallen. I mean, there's a bunch of arrogant SOBs that think they're running this country and think they're entitled to run this country, and they think they're entitled to all the money they make. And they're really just arrogant SOBs, and I am pleased to see them being called down. I think it's a good thing. Here's an article from Breitbart, and it says, "Women on Capitol Hill tell of sex trade creep list of lawmakers." Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are so predatory that female staffers are advised not to ride in elevators alone with them. You get that? These are the people we're voting for. These are the people who stand up on TV and they say, harumph, harumph. All right? We're very dignified and honorable men, but don't ride in this. Don't let your daughter ride in the same elevator with them. Females are also admonished to be careful of male lawmakers who sleep in their offices, another unwritten rule that women on Capitol Hill live by, according to the outlet. The outlet spoke to more than 50 lawmakers, current and former staffers, and other political veterans who revealed a culture so rife with sexual harassment that there is an informal creep list of lawmakers to avoid. These are the people that are supposedly making laws for you and me to obey. And they are not obeying, they're disregarding laws and or ethics and or morality. They routinely ignore that. That's not a problem. And I'm not just talking about, there are some congressmen, senators, whatever, who are not guilty of sexual harassment. But what they are guilty of is cowardice. They're not going to report what's happening. We should know about this. We should know if we have a bunch of... I mean, if these people are morally wrong, the public needs to be aware of this. And the reason we're not is nobody is reporting them, or at least not until lately. What else? The creep list of male lawmakers, mostly in the House of Representatives, but also in the Senate, are notorious for inappropriate or predatory behavior. Some told CNN there were women who will reciprocate the sexual advances in order to advance their career. So it's not just the guys that are guilty of this. We're running. You know, how long have I been saying this is? They're a bunch of treasonous whores. And I've called it the cat house on the Potomac, Washington, D.C. And here it turns out it is right. It is the cat house on the Potomac. This is like a cruise on the Love Boat, or to get elected and take a trip on the Love Boat. A spokesman for Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat of California, said 80% of the people who have come to their office with stories of sexual misconduct in the last few weeks have chosen not to report the incidents, which is exactly why it continues. All right, we're talking about the people who claim, oh, yeah, I was sexually harassed, but I don't want to report it. Right. Another female congressman told CNN she'd been sexually harassed by her male colleagues numerous times, but saw little upside to speaking out. "I need these guys' votes," she said. "In the body, you may be an enemy on one day," and in the body, they mean the House. In this body, they mean the House of Representatives. "You may be an enemy one day and a close ally the next when accomplishing something." So women will be very cautious about saying anything negative about their colleagues. She says, "Is that depressing?" She goes, "I don't think it's depressing. I think it's reality." So we have a situation here where we have a bunch of, I don't know, oversexed, uninhibited males who are groping anything that gets close to them. We also have women up there that are saying, "Hey, I'm not going to say anything because I'm working on my career." So again, cat house on the Potomac. I've been saying it for a year or more. I don't know when I started saying it. It's true. That's what's going on here. Live by the law of the brothel, Melody. If you get on into the House of Representatives or Senate, the law of the brothel, which is screw or be screwed. And that's what's going on in Washington, D.C. But I think we're seeing this with Hollywood. We're seeing it with Washington. I think we're going to see, when we haven't seen it on Wall Street yet. But of course, they can probably afford bigger bribes. hard to say how that's going to work. But I think this is going to go through society. This is something, this is a kind of a purge that's taking place right now. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I think before this is done, we are going to see a restoration of some degree of morality that's been missing in this country. I don't mean we'll be back to where we were in Ozzie and Harriet in the 1950s and the rest of that, but I think maybe we're going to see a change. All of a sudden, people are going to maybe start trying to be on their good behavior. Not me, of course, but I'm too old to be on bad behavior, so it's not relevant with me anymore.
And you're not a politician, so...
We're all politicians. Just not elected. I'm not an elected politician, but we're all involved in politics here.
Well, anyway, the House Republicans passed the tax reform bill in the GOP. They planned for a tax overhaul, cleared the House today. The House plan would chop the corporate rate down to 20% from 35%. They need to make other tweaks aiming to make business a little bit more competitive. So perhaps that was the news that pushed the stock market to the levels that we have seen today, a couple hundred, over 100 points. And the tax reform plan passed the chamber with 227 votes in favor, 205 against. And so we'll have to continue to see what the outcome will be of this tax reform. I don't think anybody will really know what's in it until it's actually passed. But
I saw one of the politicians. I saw a photograph, and I'm not absolutely certain, but he was standing next to, I don't know, there must have been 6 or 8 piles of boxes that included text. All right, and it wasn't abundantly clear, but it appeared that the tax bill was included in all of these boxes. And I mean, these boxes are like 4 or 5 feet high. Who can know what that means? You know, it's like most of the rest of the stuff. They are passing these laws. Nobody's read this. I guarantee there is not one man or woman in Congress who has read the entire tax bill. This has been cobbled together by outside interests, and they say, here, pass this. And the people in Congress, they say, okay, you got the money, we got the time, let's see if we can get this done. Who can read it? And even if they did read it, who could understand it? You could put a qualified, put someone with a PhD in accounting or economics, very intelligent guy, let them read the whole thing. This is not like reading a romance novel. This is complex law that says paragraph P, according to this paragraph, if you refer to subsections 14.B.C, you'll see such and such. This thing is so complex that no mortal man could read it and understand it, and yet we're going to pass it as law. And this is done all the time. And then we find out, and this is, and it's not an unreasonable allegation with the health care, Obamacare. What did Nancy Pelosi say? You have to vote for it first, and then you can see what's in it. That's crazy. That's crazy, but it is absolute evidence of what I'm talking about. The people we are voting for and sending up to Washington, D.C., can't be trusted to ride with your daughter in an elevator. And they're not reading the laws. They're not really legislating. They're just brokering the laws. We really do need a shakeout where get rid of all of them. Get them all out of here. And make sure they understand that from here on out, we're not going to take laws that have been written by some outside source. We're going to write the laws ourselves, and the world's going to live with it, or the Supreme Court's going to rule it's crazy. But we're going to write the laws ourselves. You know, the reason we elect people, the reason we vote for a Republican rather than a Democrat, or a Democrat rather than a Republican, or a man rather than a woman, or a woman rather than a man, the reason we vote for particular candidates is because we think that they are like us. I vote for people that ultimately, I think that guy thinks like I do. I'm going to vote for him. He thinks like I do. What difference does it make if he doesn't use those? He has my values. So I figure that when he's sitting up there in Congress and a new bill comes through, he's going to read that bill and he's going to say, well, yeah, this conforms to the same values that Al has. and therefore I'm going to vote for it. And when it's not just me, of course, but I mean, he's going to vote yes or no on that bill according to basically the same values that I have. He will do what I would have done. But we have a situation now where it doesn't matter. Nobody reads the laws. It doesn't matter what his values are. We could send a monkey up there. We could send an orangutan. We could send the talking horse. And Mr. Ed. We could send him up there. What difference does it make? Nobody reads the laws. What difference does their values make? It doesn't. They're not going to decide whether this is good or bad. They are deciding according to somebody is telling them how to vote. I said, John, I want you to vote for this one. And John said, yes, boss. Whatever you say, boss. And here's another pile of 20 bills. I want you to vote for them, too. Don't worry about reading them. Just vote for them. That's essentially what seems to be happening up there. And they will act differently. And again, they will harumph and act as if they are dignified and honorable and the rest of that. But this thing is just a circus. And it is no surprise that while we are being run by a bunch of clowns see how many congressmen you can pack in one of these little cars. Are we going to come to a good end with this? Can we come to a good end? Is the government controlling the powers of government in a way that's really beneficial to the people of the United States, or is this all just a joke, a cynical, wicked joke? And I'm increasingly inclined to say, well, no, I think we have a cynical, wicked joke here. I don't think we have anybody behaving, well, I won't say anybody, but we don't have many that are behaving responsibly. And even those that seem to be, they need to stand up and point out the crooks and the gangsters that are obvious in Congress. They need to blow the whistle on them so we can get them out. Even our best congressman, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, but what about the people you said you see who did do something wrong? When are you going to report them? And the answer is when someplace heat freezes over, right? Some hot place freezes over, we'll maybe get reports. But in the meantime, we the people are left to make do with the clowns that we send up to Washington. People that are able to act, people that are able to, chameleons that can assume the apparent identity. They say, oh, I have these system of values. They don't. They're just chasing women up and down the corridor when they get a chance. So, let's take a break for some commercials.
Yes, please. We're there. There's the music, Al.
I hear it. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. No, I don't.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adusk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we're going to continue the little package that includes the brilliant uncirculated silver quarters, and the package is $495. It also includes a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle along with your shipping costs. So it's a great little package. And again, these are the brilliant uncirculated silver Washington quarters, the 90%. And again, the premiums have dropped due to lack of demand of the 90% silver. And of course, now's the time to upgrade your 90% coins with the same premiums that you paid for circulated coins just a couple of months ago. So it's a great buy for 90% silver. We still have a few of these packages left at this price, $495, 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, and of course your shipping is included. And get this while you can, and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And as an update on the website, we've been working on it all afternoon to get things updated, the radio page updated, get the blogging, and hopefully this will be completed in the next, still going to take another week or so, and but we're looking, I'm excited about it. So going to see a lot of changes, a little more contact with Discount Gold and Silver, a lot of information to share throughout the day, and we are also trying to, and if you want, you can sign up at the website. We're going to be sending out market closes on a daily basis, so you'll be able to receive that too. So sign up at dgscoins.com on the newsletter, and become as excited as I am. Alfred, we were talking during the break where I saw the headline, Venezuela signs a $3.15 billion debt restructuring deal with Russia. So Russia is throwing them a lifeline. The two countries signed a deal to restructure the $3.15 billion that is owed to Moscow. And the agreement will be repaying the debt over the next 10 years, of which the first 6 years include minimal payments. Okay. You also want to know what goes on behind the scenes, what agreements that they have that are also behind the scenes for Russia to, you know,
take a beating on this. They loaned a bunch of money to Venezuela. Venezuela can't pay the bill. And now, rather than admit that they are completely that the bonds, whatever the loan Russia loaned them, have turned out to be worthless, they said, "Oh no, we're going to be paying you." Well, but it'll be 6 years before we actually start making any significant payments. Why don't you try that on your house, folks? Why don't you try not making payments on your house for 6 years and see how it works out? The bank isn't going to sit for it. They're going to try to take that house away from you and sell it to somebody else and get all of their money, but Russia can't do that. So this is just another way. Restructuring simply means we can't pay you, so you have to agree to accept less. All right? We owe you $1 million, but we will restructure to where we only pay you $200,000. How's that sound? And of course, you're not going to like it, but the alternative is nothing. $200,000 is better than nothing, and that's what the Russians have faced. And they're able to maintain the illusion that these bonds are still worth something, but they're not. So, and we'll see it all over the world. It's happening all over the world. They call it restructuring. It's just a polite word. And they say, oh, we're just restructuring the debt. See, it's not default if the other side agrees to restructure. If the other side agrees to, okay, we loaned you $1 million, okay, but you only got to pay us back $200,000. As long as they agree to that, this is not default. They didn't default on $800,000 out of the million. They've just restructured. You see, Melody?
Well, this is going to free up, I believe they did make a deal so that Venezuela will be, they will begin to buy wheat from Russia next week. And Russia, as well as China, of course, are the main sources of funds for the Venezuela regime right now, because the U.S. just slapped a series of sanctions on the government and its oil companies. So that's why I said there's other agreements. So, you know, you're going to have Venezuela buy the wheat from Russia. So,
and what are they going to give Russia in return?
Well, nothing.
No, they have to give them something.
Well,
it might be an oil field. It might be an oil company. It's hard to say, but they have to put something down. I don't believe Russia's taking restructuring existing debt, and on top of that, they're going to send them some fresh wheat and whatever else to keep them going and not get paid for it. They're getting something, I have to presume.
Well, the deal doesn't include the funds that the Venezuelan companies have borrowed from Russia, and the oil company, their state oil firm, is one of them, the PDVSA. And like I said, you know, I wonder what else, what other favors have been negotiated, you know, that isn't released. So,
oh, what a wicked, or well, what a complex web we weave, you know. And that's true anywhere you go in the world. I suppose the Russians are chasing the female, or the male Russians are chasing the female Russians down the halls of the Kremlin. They probably can't ride. They should probably have two different elevators, one for women and one for men, and maybe even three.
One, you know,
for
what,
homosexuals,
Al, this is just,
one
this
for
is just
lesbians,
another
women.
This is just another distraction. We've had distraction after distraction for the past how long? It's like, I can't believe people aren't worn out with it yet. I am. You know, what comes after this? You know, we've had catastrophes. We've had, you know, other situations. We've had, you know, so this is just something else. What's going to be the next big headline that comes out next week that no one pays attention to what's really going on in this country, and particularly financial? You know, it's just keep everybody busy. Holidays
well,
are here.
Keeps us interested.
Holidays
it keeps
are
us
here.
Interested, Melody. I can hardly wait for tomorrow to see what kind of comedy they produce in Washington, or, you know, London or Brussels or wherever it is. The greatest, the best comedians money can buy. Mm. They're right there doing stand up in the Congress, the Senate.
Yeah, I know, Al. Well, Siemens is looking to cut about 6,900 jobs amid shift to renewable energy. This is the German electrical engineering giant Siemens. They came out and said, you know, they're going to be making some changes to the way electricity is made the world over. And of course, the 6,900 jobs is worldwide. It's about 2% of its total workforce. So, not quite sure what type of impact it might have here in the States. That hasn't been given yet, but Yahoo is looking to lay off some folks, and, you know, the layoffs just seem to keep coming. Payless, I guess, is going to lay off an additional quite a few numbers and close stores. So, and again, I just don't think we've really seen the layoffs that from a lot of the retail shops that have been closed over the years. I just don't think we've seen those numbers come funneled through yet, but I would expect that we will see them soon, perhaps after the holidays. Maybe they kept a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think 2018 is looking to be a very interesting year.
Yep. I haven't seen it. When was the last time we had a year that was not interesting?
Oh, that's true.
Probably go back to the 1950s, maybe even the early 1960s. And it wasn't a particularly interesting year, but it was okay. It was good. You know,
I don't remember.
I mean, if we live in an interesting time, it's not going to be a good time exactly.
I don't remember where we've had a year like we've had in 2017 for a while, where there's been so much, you know, except for the 2008 through 2011 when there was all kinds of things happening. But this has been particularly a very, not volatile, but certainly a lot of action, week after week after week.
You want action? You don't even need to go to Las Vegas. Stay right at home and watch and see what's happening in your community. Action. Well, actually, it's not what we really want.
Speaking of communities, Tampa is certainly having an issue. They suspect a serial killer in Tampa. They have a picture of him walking. To me, it's not a very good picture. But I guess early Tuesday, there was another person, the fourth person to die since this string of shootings take place October 9th. And then these murders all took place within a 7-block area. And it's just a working class neighborhood. You know, all the victims have been alone, and I believe they've been, you know, all different times. I don't believe it's, so they don't know who it is. They think someone might know him, but that's enough to put...
You've got a 7-block area, and you've got a photograph, even if it's not very good. You should be able to run through that new neighborhood, and somebody, that looks a lot like Bob. Does that look like Bob?
That's what they said. They think someone should know him, but they're offering a reward for information from $41,000 to $91,000. They said someone knows something. It's kind of scary down there in Tampa. And I talked about this morning, I guess, I don't know if he, I guess Charlie Manson is on death's doorstep, which could have gotten there a little bit sooner, but just strange things, you know, are just happening. And
what about
it's
Baltimore?
Actually a slow news day.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there's tons of things to talk about, but...
Well, you've reached a point where if they don't shoot at least 100 people, it's really not news anymore, Melody.
Oh, Al. Hey, there was a $1,000 bottle of wine from Brooklyn Rooftop Vineyard. I guess that can be kind of news. There was also
a Brooklyn Rooftop Vineyard?
Vineyard, yeah.
They're growing wine. They're growing grapes up on the roofs?
How about that? Yeah.
I mean, can you taste the air pollution in the wine?
I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, I mean,
I guess you could keep it covered and keep it protected and so forth, but...
Yeah, you can't protect it from the air. But pretty strange. In any case, how much are they getting for that?
Looks like a $1,000 bottle. They got $1,000 for one bottle. So... Mm-mm.
What did they put? Did they really
build
wine up there?
I don't
there?
Know
they
if anyone
fill it up
bought
with
it yet. I don't know if anyone has purchased it yet. But, you know, for $300 more, you can get an ounce of gold. I think I'd rather have an ounce of gold than a, you know, bottle of wine that has been produced in
on a rooftop in New York.
Yeah. But to see, folks, very little to talk about today.
Yep. I got something here from Cheat Sheet.
Oh,
and it's
good.
Just some comments on debt in this country. And the headline is 15 scary facts about debt that should alarm you. We're not going to do all 15. We'll do a couple of them. And the article says, debt is as American as apple pie. We've made borrowing a national pastime. 80% of households in the United States have debt. Most borrowed to buy a house, but 30% more owed money on their credit cards. 21% had student loans. All in all, the average balance... We're talking about the average balance for at least 80% that have debt. The average balance is $67,900. The tough truth is that getting by in America today is without borrowing money is tough. And that's really not the truth of the matter here. Getting by without borrowing money is tough. No, you got to find a way to get by. You must live within your means. We can't just sit back and say, boy, it's tough getting out there. I can't borrow any money. It's tough to survive. You got to find a way to survive where you produce enough. You either live within the however much you make, or you make enough to support yourself. But tough getting by without borrowing, that's evidence of a mindset that is ultimately self-destructive. They go on and say most people can't afford to pay for college or a house in cash, so they turn to loans. But many fear that Americans aren't being smart about how they use debt. 85% of the individuals polled believe that believe people were using debt to live beyond their means. Oh, they're smart. And 79% said they didn't think Americans were responsible borrowers. No kidding. The evidence, unfortunately, suggests that those debt skeptics might be right. And then they start to list their 15 scary facts about debt. Number one, Americans are $12.58 trillion in debt. We're not talking about your fair share of the national debt. We're talking about private debt, $12.58 trillion in debt. When you add up all the money Americans owe on their mortgages, student loans, cars, credit cards, and other lines of credit, the sum is $12.58 trillion. More than the entire gross domestic product of China. Our total debt grew by over $226 billion. That's a 1.8% increase in the fourth quarter of 2016 alone. Now, that's just in one quarter, 1.8%. If you did four quarters at that same rate, at 7.2% a year, debt is growing by 7%. Private debt, we're not talking about government debt. Private debt up by 7.2% a year. At least that's what it would be if we annualized that 1.8% number. This is according to the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. And it's now just a hair below the peak of its 2008 third quarter crash of $12.68 trillion. So I don't know. Is that significant, Melody? What a coincidence, huh? Here's another one. $412 billion in debt is seriously delinquent. High consumer debt totals sound alarming, but it's not necessarily cause for panic. Spending, often with borrowed money, fuels the U.S. economy, but debt becomes a big problem when people can't pay off. Hey, there's words of wisdom, Melody. Debt becomes a problem when you can't pay the debt. Who'd have thunk it? About 5% or $607 billion of all the American debt is delinquent, meaning that people haven't made payments on their loans for 30 days. The big chunk of that, $412 billion, is seriously delinquent, with borrowers being 90 days or more behind in payments. How far are we behind in payments for the national debt, folks? We've got $20 trillion in the national debt. We are that far behind. You know, this is equivalent to say we have been living beyond our means. How far beyond our means? $20 trillion on the government alone. There's going to be a day somebody's going to come knock and say, oh, we'd like to get that $20 trillion. And the government's going to have to say, sorry, Charlie, we ain't got it. We do have commercials, though, and we're going to air a couple of them right now. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. The gold room, won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival. We were talking about a list of cheat sheet. That's the source of this. They put out a public article, 15 scary facts about debt that should alarm you. We've read a couple of them. One, the Americans are, Melody corrects me, this article is a couple of days old. It says $12.58 trillion in debt, private debt, all right, altogether. Melody says, no, it's up to $13 trillion today or yesterday. And I'm suspecting that it might be up to $14 trillion by the time the program is over today. Second one, $412 billion in debt is seriously delinquent. The average household owes $16,091 on their credit cards. At the end of 2016, the average person had $5,437 in credit card debt. That's at the end of 2016. Among families that actually use plastic, the debt totals are even higher. And the average household carrying $16,091 in credit card debt. It will take, if you make minimum payments on that average debt, $16,000, it will take 18 years to pay off that credit card balance. People vastly underestimate how much they owe. Many Americans vastly underestimate how much debt they actually have. NerdWallet compared credit card debt totals reported by lenders with estimates from consumers of what they owed and found a $415 billion discrepancy. We, as a people, we think we owe $415 billion less than we actually owe. That's not a good sign. It's one of those things where you sit back and say, what are you talking about? I owe $5,000. Where'd that $5,000 come from? I didn't understand. There you are. Credit card interest costs Americans about $1,300 every year. Debt is expensive. Households with credit card debt pay an average of $1,300 interest every year. That works out to a little over $100 a month interest. Paying $100 a month interest on your credit cards. Auto loan delinquencies are up 21% since 2012. Collectively, Americans owe more than $1 trillion on their car loans, with an average debt of $18,435 per borrower. Right? Defaulting on any kind of loan is a financial blow, but car loan defaults are especially devastating because your lender may repossess the car. Without the car, it's difficult or even impossible to get to work. It can lead to job loss, which will only make a bad financial system or financial situation worse. Total student debt is over $1.3 trillion. Dollars. Americans have $1.31 trillion in student debt loans. That's 10% of all consumer debt. More than double the share of a decade ago, about 11% of student loans are delinquent. Baby boomers and Generation X have the most debt, averaging about just over $42,000 in non-mortgage debt. I'm talking about the debt you owe on your house with non-mortgage debt, $42,000 average. Millennials owe about $32,000 on average in non-mortgage debt. And here's something really interesting. Auto title loans are a borrower's nightmare. Auto title loans, and I assume what they mean by this is you put up your auto title to borrow money from a lender. These loans would allow people to borrow against their car and frequently end up with a vehicle being repossessed, come with an average APR of 300%. Borrowers typically end up paying $1,200 in interest and fees for every $1,000 they borrow, making these loans a spectacularly bad deal. And the last one they have here is 12% of Americans expect to die in debt. Some people don't see a way out of the tunnel of debt. 12% of the people said they didn't think they'd ever pay off all the debt they owed. No, debt, debt, debt. I think, and the lesson in all of this has got to blow up sooner or later, and the only people that are going to be able to evade the consequences may be those who have savings, not debt, savings. That means instead of spending more than you earn, you spend less than you earn, and you save the balance. And we live in a world that is so addicted to debt. What's going to happen when it all blows up? They're going to be screaming for people who have savings. Word to the wise, word to the not so wise. You know, what can I tell you? Here's another one from CalPERS, from Zero Hedge. CalPERS, that's California, you know, pension fund entity, calls the top largest public pension fund moles dumping $50 billion of stocks. It's the largest public pension fund in the United States getting ready to dump about $50 billion worth of stocks. And the article says, yeah, they may be doing that. They're discussing the possibility. They're thinking about dumping $50 billion worth of stocks because they think the stocks have made as much of a, they've gone up about as high as they can possibly go. They're thinking now is the time to get out the door while you still can. We'll sell off $50 billion worth of stocks, but what are they going to do with the money? Why do they need the $50 billion, Melody?
You tell us, Al.
They're going to put it into bonds.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to sell off $50 billion. They're talking about selling off $50 billion worth of stocks. The stock market is unreasonably high. And then they're going to put it into another paper debt instrument. They're going to put it into bonds instead. And I look at it and I just say, oh, my gosh, I don't know. You know, they may be right. Could be that smartness, that sort of thing, but I do not I understand getting out of paper debt instruments. What I do not understand, getting out of one bunch of paper debt instruments to go into another bunch of paper debt instruments. I won't say I don't understand it. I can kind of understand it, but now would be the time to put all that money into something, into some sort of something that has tangible intrinsic value. And rather than trust, go out and get out of the stock market. That's dangerous. Go into the bond market. That's safe. I don't think so. I think if you're dealing with paper, you are assuming risk that you don't need to assume. In any case, that's CalPERS. And it's one of those stories that makes me kind of laugh. They're going to dump their stocks so they can buy bonds. Out of the fire and into the firing pan, Melody.
That's the way of the that's the new wealth, right? But anyway.
Some people think so. Yep. But again, we're going to have this problem. They're going to be looking for savings. I mean, there is too much debt. The whole thing is a debt-based monetary system, debt-based economy. The debt is too great to ever be repaid in full. Sooner or later, that's going to become apparent. When it is, people are going to get rid of their debt instruments. They're going to sell them for a fraction of their face value, their current face value. There's going to be a panic. There's going to be a decline, a serious decline, at least. Maybe more serious than that, hard to say. It would be a good time. When that happens, it would be a good time to have some real savings. Real savings, not savings stored in paper debt instruments. In my opinion, when they go down, they won't all go down, but I think they're going to be 80-90% of them are going to go down. There'll be some of them that do okay. I don't know which ones that'll be. I don't think anyone else does either. There'll be a certain randomness to this. There'll be some of them that'll do okay and may even prosper, but the majority are going to be, they're going to suffer dramatically. And the people who won't suffer will be the ones that I think have tangible, have their wealth stored in a tangible medium like gold or silver.
And this great little package today is a great way to get started. And you don't have to limit yourself to one package. You can get 100 of these packages. You know, we can make sure you have them. And if you have enough funds to have 100 of these packages, well, we could rearrange those funds and get you some 1 ounce so you can get a little more gold for your money. So, but this is a great beginner's package. And it's the 90% silver Washington quarters. And, of course, the 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagle, and includes your shipping costs for $494. And this was priced, gold and silver was a little bit lower, not much lower. Silver was lower when this was quoted. So a great buy from this small little package, $495. So make sure you give us a call at 800-375-4188. It's 800-375-4188. What's next, Al?
Got an article from Gains, Pains, and Capital. It says a major central bank just announced that your money is not safe in a bank.
Yeah.
All right. This is about European banks right now, but it points in a direction. Say, okay, I'm not a dummy. I'm going to sell my stocks, and I'm not stupid enough to put the return into bonds. I'm going to put it in the bank. Well, maybe that's not the right thing to do either. According to this article, something extraordinary happened yesterday. It was actually 2 days ago now, and no one is talking about it. The European Central Bank proposed removing deposit insurance for bank deposits. Put another way, the European Central Bank wants to make it so that if a European Union bank fails, the individuals who keep their savings in that bank lose everything. Well, it's only sensible, Melody. That's what they're going to have to do here. Now, you know, you look at this and you say, my God, I don't know. What do you need? Do people have to put a gun to people's heads to make them understand what's happening here? The European Central Bank, they ought to have a clue to what's going on, at least in the European economy. They cannot simply say, well, I have an idea. Let's remove the deposit insurance from bank accounts. It'll be fun. They're doing it for a reason. This is the sort of thing that should make people angry, upset, anxious, wary, fearful. The money you keep in the bank is no longer going to be guaranteed. And if the bank fails, then the people who deposited their money in that bank are just out of luck. Huh? And they don't see a problem with this. They're proposing this. It hasn't been done yet. It says in a paper published in the European Central Bank's banking supervision website, the ECB proposed the following. Quote, covered deposits and claims under investor compensation schemes should be replaced by limited discretionary exemptions to be granted by the competent authority in order to retain a degree of flexibility. Does that make much sense to you, Melody?
Not much.
It is just they're writing here, and they're trying to tell. They're saying they're probably telling the truth here, but they're doing it in a way that probably one man in ten might be able to read and realize what it says. There's going to be a competent authority. He might give you your money back, or he might not. They're going to need a degree of flexibility. This is how you're going to get your account restructured, and it won't be requiring you to consent to restructuring. It will be the competent authority who will decide whether or not your account should be restructured or not. Should we pay you back 50 cents on the dollar? Should it be 10 cents? Nothing? What shall we do? The competent authority will decide. In legal terms, this means that the European Central Bank wants to do away with deposit insurance entirely. Instead, the European Central Bank proposes that should the EU bank fail, the amount of capital that you can access would be both limited and at the sole discretion of an authority. You can wonder who the authority is going to be. But this is just another leaf in the breeze. Say, look, what do you deposit in the banks? You deposit paper debt instruments or digital debt instruments. That's what you deposit there. And they're saying, if the bank fails, you're out of luck. That's not just talking about the banks. It's talking about the currency. Right? If the bank fails, so does your currency. All right, at least the currency you've deposited in that bank. I don't mean that all the currency in the nation of France or Germany or whatever is going to fail, but I'm saying the currency you've deposited in the bank, guess what? Ha ha! It was imaginary. It didn't really exist, and now it's gone. I look at that, and there cannot be a situation where the United States is that much stronger than the European Union. It may be that they're the first one that's going to hit the fan. Maybe the European Union, they can see it coming. They're, oh my gosh, we got to cancel our responsibility for making good on these debts. And that's another one. Who guaranteed these bank accounts up until now? And it would be the government of the European Union and or the governments of the individual countries. But government is the one that's guaranteeing these bank accounts. And government is passing laws that say, nope, we don't have to make good on those debts. It can't be just a coincidence. It can't be a situation where they just said, I know, let's do this. It'll be fun. No, they're doing this because they anticipate there's going to be a moment when banks are going to begin to fail, and in the foreseeable future. And so the government is trying to cover its backside. It's not covering the public, it's covering its backside. You can expect something similar in the United States before this is all over. Again, good idea. Get rid of your debt instruments and get into something tangible like gold and silver. We're out of time. Thank you for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In